Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Facilities Management and Maintenance, FM&M, your facility management solution. Keep COVID out and get back to work with FM&M and its COVID-busting cleaning services. Call Lisa Fitzgerald at 617-561-7003 or go to fmm-inc.com to learn more.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour two with Bedard. Right back to your calls. A lot have been waiting patiently. Thank you for doing so. I still do have to ask you to be brief so we can rifle through these. John in Rhode Island. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Craig, you had mentioned these five other teams that went on from a losing record to winning the Super Bowl. I happen to notice that you cherry-picked and missed the 2001 Patriots with essentially the same roster from 2000, other than Richard Seymour, of course, as the first-round draft pick. But that's another example. So Tom Brady has now done this twice. I'll also add, if you look at the 2008 season, that was essentially the exact same roster as a helmet catch away from perfection, and they went 11-5 and missed the playoffs. Tom Brady has always been the difference for this team. Belichick, the GM, has proven over and over again that I don't know what's going on with the player evaluation, but Tom Brady has been the missing piece. He is the reason. He's the guy.
Okay, John. Thanks for the call. You know, I did notice, Greg, you talk about the other teams that went from losing records to winning championships. One was wrote this down, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the Niners in 81 with Joe Montana, the Rams in 99 with Kurt Warner, Brady in 01 and Brady in 2021. Well, those are four Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I mean, I don't love Kurt Warner. I think he's a little overrated, but he is a Hall of Famer.
And Nick Foles.
So there's one out of the five. The other four, what are we arguing about here? The other four of the five times were Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Okay, so you need a Hall of Fame type quarterback. You don't need Tom Brady. Is that what you're admitting?
I'm just saying it starts with a quarterback in these cases.
Oh, it's football. Of course the quarterbacks are important. The only thing that I'm fighting against is you saying that Tom Brady is the end-all and be-all, and he's coaching people, and he's doing this, and it couldn't be done without him. That's the only thing I'm pushing back against, that he is the only person that could have done that when this has happened before in NFL history.
Oh, I still believe that. He's the only guy that would take in this Buccaneers team
to
this championship. Yeah, maybe
we disagree.
Maybe Russell Wilson. I think that's a good one, Maz. I shouldn't leave him out. But those guys, though, the guys that have that winning quality, it's not just about the ability or the talent. It's about something else there with that guy.
Feller, one more thing on this. One more thing, and I'll shut up about it. You talked about the Bucs being 7-5, and, nobody else could do this. The 2012 Ravens were 10-6. They won the Super Bowl. The 2011 Giants were 7-7. The 2010 Packers were 8-6. The 2007 Giants were 7-4. That's just recent. And if Tom Brady is such a winner and is capable of just lifting people up, how did the Patriots last year lose 4 or 5 down the stretch?
Home field advantage
and an automatic berth in the AFC Championship game when Tom Brady was the quarterback?
Because he had lost a little juju here.
Bad attitude.
He had lost a little bit of his something here, and I think we all saw that. And that's on Tom. I said it at the time, and that's still true today.
It wasn't Billy his Rhode offensive Island. Personnel. It was his juju. Okay.
Go ahead, Billy. What do you got?
Oh, I got a good one for you. I think, anyways, the odds going into the playoffs, the Kansas City New Orleans Saints had 7-2 odds. The Green Bay Packers at 9-1.
What's your point, Billy? Got to get to it.
My point is this. He beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. You can't get a better list than that.
Okay, and Greg, I'm sure you love that commentary. Like it's like a one-on-one basketball game.
Yeah, I'm glad Tom Brady was out there playing middle linebacker for the Bucs and shutting those guys down.
Steve in Portland, you're up next, Steve. Go ahead.
He's a good tackle.
Yeah, let's throw some more gas on this fire. So a couple quick points, and I got a question for you. So Bruce Arians said that they didn't know how to win last year until they got Brady in, took over the room. Lenny Fournette said Brady was preaching all week about yak yards after hit. He was almost the MVP. And with Belichick, I think a while ago said that Brady did challenge him, maybe in the film room or whatever, or his ethic. Do you think Brady elevated Belichick?
Yeah, of course. Yes, they elevated each other. But, you know, let's not rewrite that history. We both know there was the combination of the two here, where the argument is who was slightly more important. Okay, I think Brady has changed that argument. Should have changed your mind if he didn't before. It's changed mine. The question is, what was his impact on that team down there? And I think there's hardly another guy that could have done what he did this year.
Greg, to me, it's an intangible. So I just think there is tremendous validation that Brady gives an operation. And I think there is huge value in that in the average human being. Maybe not. So when I say the average human being, I mean the people that are around that. When you believe in someone the way people can believe in Brady, because his track record is unmatched, then I think that everyone starts to think that things are possible that they didn't previously think were possible, and the focus sharpens. And they all hit their ceiling. And I think it's because of Brady.
Yep, and I just disagree. I think there
I know you do. It's, and that's okay.
And very good leaders in the NFL. I just disagree.
Will in Myrtle Beach. He's joining us on line four. Billy or Stu, if you could pop him up. It froze on my end. Will, you're up next.
What's up, guys? I just got like 20 seconds and a question for Greg.
Go.
So last year, the Pats go 12-4. Then Brady leaves, they go 7-9. Last year, the Bucs go 7-9. Then Brady shows up with no offseason, preseason. They go 11-5 and win the Super Bowl. And just about every single player and coach on the actual team, Greg, says Brady deserves the credit for elevating them. But because Greg Bedard bought himself a clipboard and a stopwatch, he somehow mocks the idea that Brady deserves the credit. So, Greg, my question to you would be, when Belichick reaches his hands up your ass to make you talk, does he use his left arm or his right arm? Hey, Murray, love you, babe. Bucks win.
There's a lot there.
if anybody has listened to me or read me over the years, they know I am far from a Belichick Bobo.
I'll back Greg on that one too.
Yeah, no, it's not a Belichick thing. It's more like if you want to break down the psychology of the bias, it's the offensive lineman that just hates that everyone talks about the quarterback and throwing the football, and they want to talk about running the ball and setting up the run and establishing the run for the play action because the big offensive lineman always feels slighted in the conversation that we all talk about where the ball goes in the passing game. And so this is like the worst extension of it, that it's just the quarterback. And so all the old ex-offensive linemen get their backs up. That's the bias more than the Belichick thing.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, a talk show host who all he does is talk about quarterbacks and how they win and how this happens. And then you get to the Super Bowl, and guess what? One quarterback who's the most talented quarterback in the league has no time to throw and gets pressured 31 times in the game. And the other quarterback barely gets touched and is pressured 4 times in the game. And guess what? The quarterback who didn't get pressured had an easy time and won the game. What do you know? Interesting.
I'm not sure what you're arguing there exactly, but either way, Tony and Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
I don't know what he's arguing either. You say this only, it doesn't count because it's football or whatever. You can compare this to a guy like Ortiz who lifted a team too. All right, but here's the thing, Bernard. He's got a thing against Brady for some reason. Everybody around him, everybody that's played for him, praises the guy, and you're saying he's just running the mill. You're saying these other quarterbacks.
I did not say that.
That said these other quarterbacks like Warner and those guys that took a losing team or whatever. This team is behind Brady, and Brady talked this team into winning as well as showing them how to win.
Okay, Greg, I know you reject that thought. I do understand what you were trying to say just there, that the Super Bowl came down to the offensive line play on both sides. Certainly the Kansas City side. I mean, heck, Tampa Bay basically shut him out of the end zone. Didn't allow Patrick Mahomes to score a touchdown. So a hugely important factor in that game. If you want to take the game in a vacuum and say there's other quarterbacks that could have won that game on the Tampa Bay side, I think there's probably a ton of quarterbacks that could have won that specific 60-minute game. I mean, heck, All Tampa had to do was score 10 points. So there's a lot of really horrible quarterbacks out there that could have played that game and got Tampa to 10 points. So, like, if you want to play that game, like, that's sort of an obvious thing. I think we're talking about Brady in the season context and the entire run that they went on and where they came from the middle of the year to the beginning of the year to where they are now and how they became the team that they were. I think Brady was the single most important factor in that. by far. But there's a list of reasons. He's just number one on that list. We have 10 questions. If you, I'll give you 30 seconds for a response if you care.
No, I just want to state for the record, in case anybody, you know, if people just want to keep being wrong, I guess. So if people just want to keep being wrong and being ignorant and being ignoramuses on Twitter, you could say that I'm a Belichick Bobo, which would be wrong. And you could also say that I hate Tom Brady, which would also be wrong. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever. He's the most clutch performer. He's the greatest winner I've ever seen. All that stuff. I just don't believe in a team sport, the ultimate team sport in football, that Tom Brady made all the difference in Tampa Bay. I think that other quarterbacks could have done it even in present day. And that's it. That's all.
Greg, get off Twitter would be my advice to you. 10 questions coming up next. Don't go. Oh, sure.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Going every day.
Keeps your whack.
Keeps their whack.
Toucher and Rich, mornings at 6. But now, more Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5. Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes with the big boy. We got to stay on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzers this week?
You know what Tom's agent contract situation is.
Trying to push him out for over 7 years. Go ahead.
I think you're better off being early rather than late at that position.
Golly, is this his sixth ring? Seventh ring?
Seventh.
Seventh ring.
That's hard to believe.
Golly gee, where's he put them all?
Next.
Bucks win the Super Bowl.
I love should make that Bedard's ringtone. Go.
First half early of the second half. And then the cannons. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Should make that Bedard, Belichick's ringtone. Next.
What's your favorite championship?
It's the next one, baby. It's the next one.
Anything else?
Oh, where's Belichick?
Count them. Seven of them. Suck it. 7 rings.
I hate Tom Brady.
Someone tells me that's a late ad. All right, go ahead. Hit it.
I hate Tom Brady.
Number 10, Greg. Should the NFL quarantine or embargo all postseason business, including coaching interviews, coaching hires, and now trades? Should all this stuff be banned until after the Super Bowl?
Yes, and I think it should be part of a lengthening out of the offseason. It'll keep them in the news more, wait until after the Super Bowl. And I know there's a lot of talk about like, oh, well, it's still going to go on. They still have to have interviews, and you could still monitor the teams, whether it's in-person interviews or Zooms or calls. Like, they're not going to name somebody head coach unless they talk to them in person. And there's a way to monitor that. Just lengthen it out. You know, after the Super Bowl, then it's the coaching and all the changes. Push back free agency. You know, you can keep free agency beginning of March. Push back the draft a little bit. Just lengthen it out.
I say no. Leave it the way it is. I have no issue with the way it is.
I say yes for like entertainment and content's sake. Like, you miss some of the stuff that's going on, especially the week leading up to the Super Bowl.
That a boy, Murray. Absolutely. Think of the show. You know, we got shows to fill in February and March, and if you get all the coaching stuff the second week of February and they hold off on the trade, and I mean, there was just too much news there when we're still talking about the games. I think they should absolutely spread it out, and they can easily, will things still happen behind the scenes, you know, a wink and a nod? Sure, of course they will. But if you can't interview a coach, they can hold that off, and you can just monitor it. They'll confiscate a phone or a hard drive with the best of them. So they'll take care of the Zoom stuff. There'll be no in-person, you know, interviews. You can do that on coaching easily. So, yes, I think they should. Next.
First half early of the second half. And then the cannons. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Okay, we didn't talk about this at all, which we usually don't, but I'll just slot it here. Give me your top take or takeaway on anything with the Super Bowl in terms of the anthem, the halftime entertainment, the commercials, all that other ancillary crap that we don't talk about. Do it here. Give me your top thought.
I think I found myself like crying like three times before the game started between like the Whitney national anthem piece. There was also the poem that the young lady did. There was something else too. I was like, I was an emotional mess before the game even started.
Yeah, the only time I cried was during the halftime show. I thought that thing was awful. I thought it was absolutely positively horrendous. The weekend, as someone said to me, that he should change his name to Monday Morning is what he should change, because I thought he sucked.
Anthem sucked, seemingly adding lyrics and verses, just play it right. And I thought the weekend was a 6.5 out of 10. It's out of 10. There was some pizzazz from a visual aspect. Played the hits, played them right. That's all I can ask for.
He sucked.
Next.
What's your favorite championship?
It's the next one, baby. It's the next one.
What do we make of the rumblings that are now coming out of Seattle with Russell Wilson? What, the Seahawks have apparently taken calls on him? The Russell Wilson camp is apparently grumbling about his protection and things like that. Is this a serious issue, Greg?
I don't know what's going on there. This sort of came out of nowhere. But if I'm Russell's people, hell yeah, I'm trying to get out, because it's just, it's been a disaster. His protection has been horrible the entire time. And I also think there might be a tie-in to, I think Wilson and Ciara, like, you know, they have big plans for everything. I think they would like to go to like a New York and sort of become global superstars, and they're not going to do that in Seattle.
So look, I so want it to be a real story. I so want Russell Wilson to be on the market, because I think the guy's awesome, and the idea of him being, you know, on the market fascinates me. But what's your first question when you see a story like that? What's a contract status?
Right.
So he's got some sort of out after 2021. So I wonder if this is it. Like, you know, if that's what this is all about, that he's now looking for more dough.
Yeah, this is the residual after effect of Brady just winning instantly with a brand new team. And now guys who don't love their situations, like Russell Wilson, want to treat the NFL like the NBA and force moves and jump teams. So you tell them to shut the hell up. We'll try our best to draft whoever you want to help. That can help you, and we'll try to find someone in free agency too. But I don't think it's a real story.
Oh, but that Murray's bigger point is something to keep an eye on. Is the NFL becoming a little like the NBA in terms of that, with these guys picking their teams and shoot? You know, because there used to be a time that franchise quarterbacks almost never moved. You know, it was very rare for a guy to move, and now it feels like it's becoming a little routine. So keep an eye on that. Next,
I think you're better off being early rather than late at that position.
Number 7, reports are that the Eagles don't feel they are receiving fair market offers for Carson Wentz. Here's another one. So they're not getting what they deem is a fair offer for Wentz. What is a fair offer for Wentz?
A 2, but I reported this weekend, or it was Friday or Saturday, that I heard from somebody involved in the trade talks that the Eagles were asking for 2 first-round picks for Wentz. And it's been confirmed by other reporters.
Second round pick is the right price. The Eagles are behind on this one. The guy's 17-21, I think it is, in the last 3 years. So again, you pick him with the second pick in the draft. You wanted to trade him 3 years ago, then maybe you'd have gotten something that closer to what you want, but not now.
I'll give you $30 in this old shovel. I'll give you a second and a third this year and a future third. The guy's broken physically and I think mentally with the way that this past season paid up. But I'm not giving you a first, let alone 2.
So I think he's worth the bottom half of the first round pick. You know, 16 or lower.
Sure. All right.
I'm curious, Murray. Is your thing, you know, a second and 2/3 worth more than my 20th overall pick? I don't even know what the value chart would say on that. But that's what I think he's worth. I don't think he's worth 2. I don't think he's worth a pick in the top of the first round, even. But bottom of the first, I think you could make the case there. Next.
I don't know what Tom's age and contract situation is.
Jeff Howe said this morning on Touch and Rich that he thinks J.J. Watt, if released, should be an offseason target for the Patriots. Do you agree or disagree? And if you agree, what would you pay him?
He would obviously fit what they do, but I think J.J. Watt's sort of going to be one of these test cases about, like, what are the Patriots at this point in time? Because if you're J.J. Watt, do you want to go from playing for Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel, the same scheme, and dealing with Jack Easterby and all that Patriots stuff, and you want to go to New England and be miserable? Or do you want to go to some place like, you know, the Rams or something like that, where you can be outside and maybe they can line you what, more an outside linebacker or defensive end instead of getting beaten the hell on the inside? You know, because if he comes here, he's going to get the crap kicked out of him.
Yes, I want him. Yes, $5 million. And when I say $5 million, that's low.
And okay? I say no, go to a real contender, like Greg was just alluding to. Go to Tennessee.
Well, no. We're not talking about it from his standpoint.
The team standpoint.
What he wants. If you're the Patriots, Murray, do you want him?
No, because I don't see how he can fit right now. I really don't. You have bigger pressing problems on the offense.
Okay, so I'm curious about when you say he would fit here, obviously, and I just neglected to think about the Romeo Crennel system and all of that. I don't feel like he two gaps, Chris. I mean, Greg, I'm sorry. He doesn't – is he going to stand up there and tie up blockers and play the run the way they want him to play the run?
Bill will alter the scheme for him, and he would be ideal. Man, if they had him at defensive end instead of Dietrich Wise the past 2 years, that defense would have been infinitely better, and they probably beat the Titans in that playoff game. That's where he would fit. You put him on the end. He doesn't have to two gap as much over there. And then you free him up on third down. He'd be a perfect fit here. But if I'm him, I'm not coming near this place.
Okay. If he wanted it, I think he'd be an interesting guy from a culture fit. Like I consider him a football player, right? And a gamer. And I think he's overrated and overhyped and he's fed into that. So there's things that bug me about him. But I watched him at Wisconsin too. He is a gamer. I think he wants it. I think, a second time around, wants to get with some quality coaches in a quality place. I think he would work here, or, I'd give it a shot.
What would you pay him?
So under $10 million. He makes $15 million a year. It would have to be 1 year, $9 million, 1 year, 2 years, $15 million, something like that, is what I would look at with him, under $10 million a year. We're running late as usual, so why don't we do this? Quick update from Big Jim Murray, and we'll give you our final five right after this.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap. Where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, let's pick up 5 through 10. The 5 is the tool bag question. Hit it, Jimmy.
Where's Belichick?
For number 5, biggest tool bag of Super Bowl week.
It's Kelsey, but I did want to use this opportunity to say I love the part in the Super Bowl broadcast when Nance was talking about Tom Brady coming out on the turf. Tom Brady's the first one out on the turf, and he's gazing around, and Romo says, "And I saw you gazing at Brady," and to where Nance had to be like, he even said, "Easy." Easy. It was just so shameless. I love that part.
So I felt a little bit about Nance in the pregame, too. He's annoying. He is annoying.
It's getting worse.
But that aside, Tommy Townsend. I come back to Tommy Townsend, the Chiefs punter. First of all, dude, you're a punter, okay? Cut the hair. You're don't call attention to yourself. You're the punter. And then if you are going to grow your hair and then shank one out of bounds and run off the field with a load in your pants, don't come back out. What a choke job by him. I haven't seen a player choke in a game like that in a long, long time.
And I will go with the streaker. I thought it was so bad, especially, after this hell year, everybody on edge. Any kind of blatant misbehavior like that at an event like that should come with a nightstick and a taser to teach a lesson.
Nice job, Murray. Good one. Next.
I hate Tom Brady.
Okay, Greg, I assume you believe the NFL has become too quarterback-centric. I'm just going to assume that's how you feel. So let me ask you, Greg, if you were commissioner of sports, what would you do to change it?
Well, I thought about this, Mike, and you don't want to expose them to injury because you don't want to lose the guy. So we're not changing those rules. You also want to put up points. You don't want to give the defense too many rules alterations. So really, the only thing I'm left with, Mike, is I'm separating the quarterbacks in terms of awards. MVP, Super Bowl MVP. We're naming best quarterbacks for each because it's gotten way too quarterback-centric. At least you do that, at least it puts the spotlight on other guys in the league and just sort of keep the quarterbacks in their own very special. And when it comes to Tom Brady, obviously he's a god and does everything on the gridiron. Keep them in their own category.
So, but there's nothing you would do about how the way the game is played on the field.
I don't think you can do anything.
I would tighten up some of the when I say tighten up, allow the defense to get away with a little bit more in the passing game. I don't think it's ever going to happen. And I'll tell you, the PI rule's an easy one too. I don't know that relates totally the quarterback centric nature of the game, but you know, some of these plays at the end of the half, that one in the Super Bowl, what are we doing? Like, give them a 15-yard penalty if you want, but you give them 30 yards, and now all of a sudden they get a touchdown.
So, again, I'm czar of sports. I can make these changes. I would get more loose with the roughing the passer calls. It shouldn't be so ticky-tack. It's got to be like the old saying about pornography, right? Like, you know it when you see it. Like, the one that Brady benefited from, and I'm glad that he did, AFC Championship game against the Chiefs a couple of years ago, that was a slap on the helmet. That's a 15-yard personal foul, roughing the passer. Give me a break.
So, they could do that, loosen up the roughing the passer calls and take away the slide. You know, you're going to go run the ball. You're going to run into the secondary. You're going to run into the linebacker level. You're going to have to take a hit like everybody else. You don't get to give yourself up. They could easily do that, but Greg's right. They're never going to subject those guys to injury. So I just feel like I think we're kind of stuck. If you think it's too quarterback-centric, I think you're stuck with it. I don't know if there's anything they can do, especially when you look in college too. Like the game is all these guys just running around now. It's like I don't know how you change it. Next.
First half, early of the second half, and there the cannons come. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Number three, where would Tua Tagovailoa go in this year's draft? Has his stock gone up or down?
No, it's definitely gone down. I think he would go number four behind Lawrence, Wilson, and Fields, I think. Either Fields or Lance, one of those guys. I think people looked at Tua out there this year on the field, and they're like, God, he's really slight, and he's really small, and is he going to last? Where I didn't think we really knew that before he was on an NFL field.
Stock's going down, but he's still in the top 10. I mean, you know, again, he was a winning quarterback. It feels to me like he can manage the game. He might be in the Mac Jones category, maybe even middle of the first round, but he's better than Mac Jones, so I still think it's top 10.
He dipped a little, but there's still, you got to look at, he's another year removed from the hip surgery, so there's still some potential upside there. I think he's top 15.
Yeah, I do feel like his stock has gone down. If you just look at it on paper, rookie quarterback completed 64% of his passes. They went 6-3 in the games that he started. He had a 2-1 TD interception ratio. Like, it all sort of, on paper, looks like he lived up to the billing. But I agree, it's sort of like, I don't know, the new car rolls off the lot, and all of a sudden, even though it does everything you bought it for, it's not as valuable as he was coming out. And I just feel that. I feel the arrow's down on Tagovailoa. Next.
Count them! Seven of them! Suck it! Seven rings!
We have said for the past year that the Buccaneers are the worst brand in the NFL.
Wrong.
I don't know if we can any longer say that. We'll just go with the question. What now, Greg, is the worst brand in the NFL?
I think it's the Bengals. And I look, I've disagreed with you guys all year on this. I'm sorry. I don't see how a team like the Bucs, when at least for me, people my age, you think of Derek Brooks and Tony Dungy and John Gruden when you think of the Bucs.
But now we're going forward. What's the worst brand in the NFL right now?
Bengals.
Jacksonville. That brand smells. Now, look, it can change with the kid, but it's Jacksonville.
It's the Houston Texans, simply because of Jack Easterby and the fact that Deshaun Watson apparently said, I won't play there. I'll sit the year out. It's the Texans. They're a dumpster fire.
They play in a real stadium. You know, it's a big it's hard for me to put Houston there. The team's a disaster, but I'm talking brand, you know, which is a little bigger picture. The Bengals,
Mike, when you say brand, you say brand, do you mean to the everyday person, or do you mean like football, people who know football, or at least are football fans?
Football, to sports fans.
Okay.
I mean, we all know what it the brand. It's not. I'm not talking team. Like, you know, I'm talking brand. I don't put the Lions there. They host Thanksgiving. It's a legendary franchise. They suck, but it's like a cornerstone NFL franchise owned by an important family and has an important place of history. And, you know, I'd say the same thing about the Browns. Like, I don't think the Bengals is a good one, but Jacksonville's the answer. Jacksonville is the worst brand in the NFL for sure. Next.
Golly, is this his sixth ring? Seventh ring?
Seventh.
Seventh ring.
That's hard to believe.
Yep.
What's the best brand in the NFL? Do the Patriots still qualify?
Again, I answered this as brand to normal everyday people who are not sports fans. And I think Dallas is still the number one brand in the league. That helmet, that stadium, their history, I still think, even though, look, they've been a bit of a train wreck for the past 10 or 15 years, I still think their brand is sky high.
It's Dallas. It's still Dallas. They're a force in terms of the brand. Huge.
And I went with the Kansas City Chiefs simply because Patrick Mahomes is the face of the league currently.
Okay. I think Packers deserve mention in there as well, but I'm biased, obviously. Okay, wrap it up with your calls for Bedard in our long commercial-free segment next.
And I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Does this affect Belichick's legacy? The answer is yes. He should win a ring without Brady before all is said and done. Or the great debate, is it more Belichick or Brady, will be won by those who said, no, it was more Brady.
Tom Brady was the driving force of a New England dynasty, and he is now becoming the driving force of a Tampa Bay dynasty.
Tom decided long ago that he wouldn't walk in Bill's big book shadow. He called up Gronk, and then AB said, come to Tampa, and they agreed. They joined the GOAT, and they did the deed. They helped Tom win his seventh Lombardi. And now the greatest blur of all just happened to Billy B.
No, really, do you people realize...
The greatest blur of all, from Tom to Billy B. The greatest blur of all is that he did it with that team.
Bucks win, Bucks win the Super Bowl.
And just a year removed from Belichick makes this the greatest of all.
All right, we'll let Bedard hear that one more time before he goes. As promised, sip through some calls here before Greg says goodbye. His buddy Guy is in Boston. Go ahead, Guy.
Yes, I wanted to tell Mr. Bedard, I think people know what team concept is. And I never thought I'd be glad to see football season stop so I don't have to listen to this buffoon again. Thank you.
That doesn't need a response. Brandon in Boston has a quick thought. Go ahead, Brandon. Brandon in Boston's call screen says Super Bowl was rigged. I don't know. I certainly don't believe it was rigged. But I know, Greg, you had a thought on the officiating in the first half of that game.
I thought it was awful. I mean, in a multitude of ways. The first call on Evans, I thought he slipped. But mostly it's, look, the Bucks were only in that position because they got two game-changing turnovers from Murphy bunting against the Packers and the Saints. And he did a lot worse than those flags against Evans, including in the one on the interception, which the ball was tipped. Like, you could have made the argument that it didn't matter. It was barely even thrown his way. There was another receiver in front of him. I thought the officiating was horrible, especially the last one. The one in the end zone was ridiculous. Brady was throwing it away. One thing I want to see, Felger, and this was something when we were kids that was part of these games to the point where we used to do it on the playground, is I want uncatchable back. Like, where did it go? Like, we need to bring it back because it's a factor.
They never call it, and I agree. I thought Brady got bailed out of his interception in the first half, and I thought it was – I hated the first two calls on the KC secondary I thought were horrible. John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
So just a couple of things on Bedard. So just to give you a little snippet of how you're coming across today, Bedard, I usually keep the show on background while I'm working at home, and my wife came from the other room today and said, who is this guy? He's ruining the show. He sounds like an idiot. So, you know, with all the Brady hate that you're spewing lately, I mean, it really makes no sense. Everybody does understand it's a team sport, but the quarterback, as everybody has said, is the most important position. So by default, they get, you know, more credit than others. So in general, everybody agrees, Bedard, we get it. So stop trying to act like you're the smartest guy in the room constantly.
Okay. I don't think it's Brady hate. I think it's Felger and Maz hate, really, is what's coming through there a little bit more.
Can't say I blame him.
Well, I mean, like, one thing I did want to say related to this is, you know, you guys, you know how you make fun of Patriots fans for saying that Belichick can't lose ever?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you do the same with Brady.
Right now, yes.
I mean, let's see. So 2019... what happened? The Patriots fizzled down the stretch. Brady stunk. Couldn't win a home game against the Dolphins. Has nothing to do with Brady. What about when they lost? They got ousted in 2009 and 2010.
Greg.
Why did that happen?
Last year had a lot
if he's the greatest winner.
But he's not perfect. He doesn't win every time. And I was hugely critical of Brady last year, and I don't take any of that back. He deserves a criticism. For, you know, having 1 foot out the door last year, and it affected his play. He was better this year. He was more invested this year, and it showed up.
Yeah, he's got to be engaged.
What about in 2009 and 2010? How did that happen?
Well,
they're the greatest winner in sports.
He's coming off of the ACL, and that locker room went to crap, and he may have been a part of it. I mean, when I say not like he was a bad guy, but he was powerless to stop that, you know, Sean Springs, Adalys Thomas, Randy Moss sort of thing that took over on that team, and he, you know, he didn't do anything to get in the way of it. He's not perfect. It's not like it happens every year, Greg.
Okay. So the team wasn't good enough around. Okay. Yep.
In 2009, it wasn't.
Well, but. But
so he can't do it all on his own.
No, he can't do it all on his own. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Well, but sometimes he's better. He's not the exact same every year. He has better years than others and better times than others. I thought as it got down here the last couple of years in New England, his play steadily went down. And weirdly, and it wasn't because he was physically worse. He was mentally checking out. He had 1 foot out the door, and his play reflected it. 2009, he's coming back from the knee, wasn't in a great place. I think his play steadily declined through that time, in fact, which is why the Patriots drafted Garoppolo, and that gave him a big goose, and his play picked up. Like, he's not a robot. It doesn't look exactly the same, and I'm not doing this on a piece of paper. Sometimes he's better and worse. I mean, like,
my point is Tom Brady lost in those years, whether it's 02 or what have you, because the team was not good enough.
Yes,
in general.
Yes,
and just like he won because the team was better. Win as a team,
but Greg,
loses a team.
Okay,
but sometimes he's better.
Yeah, ahead, Greg, what I would say is the talent has to be there. There's no question about it. I just disagree with the assessment of you can drop anybody in there and get the same result. There are lots of teams that have been talented that had good quarterbacks and didn't win. In fact, there have been how many dream teams have built between, you know, Philadelphia and pick whoever you want, where they loaded up the roster and then all of a sudden they went out and they sucked. And so I just think he has a knack for keeping everybody on the beam and for elevating everybody's play and pointing the thing in the right direction. I think that I don't think that that part of him is really all that debatable anymore.
And some years,
I mean,
he's
that's
not
fine. I mean, they lost in 07, one of the greatest teams ever. He was
correct.
Part of that.
Correct.
I mean, it happens. It happens. You know, you win as a team, you lose as a team. It's the same way in the NFL. That's my point.
Phil and Rivera, go ahead.
Yes, you absolutely do win and lose as a team. But with Brady, most of the time you win. And just use your eyes. This is the eye test. That they look more like the Buccaneers look like the New England Patriots through the whole playoffs. And as far as getting free agents in here,
Phil, I'm just going to stop you there because I agree with that too. Like, I never would have given the Tampa Bay Buccaneers credit for being the smarter, more disciplined, better game planned team. But that's absolutely what they were through the playoffs. And I never saw them as that team, certainly not recently, not for a long, long time, you know, since those Dungy Gruden years. You know, like, other than that, and I've never said that about a Bruce Arians team. So all of a sudden, they're better coached, they have better game plans, they're more disciplined, they're more physical on defense. And they did. They sort of looked like the Patriots in that regard and sat there and let the other team puke on themselves. It felt and looked like the Patriots. So I don't know. Is that because Brady got there? Maybe, yeah. I think it's a big factor, Greg. Sorry, I do.
What if it was just the second year of Bruce Arians and, you know, took him about to the midway point? Because I know you guys brought out some penalty stats. But after not having a preseason, after the pandemic, getting Brady ingratiated, what was already put in place in year one, it started to click the second half of the season. That could also be another explanation.
I don't believe that one. I think it was Brady. Sure. But we're just going to have to leave it at that, Maz. What do you say?
Oh, no, that's okay. I mean, the big boy knows that I love him.
Okay. And I know he doesn't love us. Or me, anyway. Greg, it was great having you again this year. Thanks for doing it. Let's stay in touch, shall we? When you hear things and have things to, you know, maybe shed some light, set us straight, maybe, as we go forward, always be in touch.
Absolutely. And you can always find me, the Greg Bedard Patriots podcast, where you listen to your podcasts, and also at BSJ, where we'll be unveiling a new app in about a month, and also some increase in staffing and things like that. So good things happening at BSJ.
Oh, that's good news. Congratulations. Good.
So you're upgrading the app, so is that just going to, like, redo itself by itself on my phone, or I have to go download something?
No, it'll happen automatically.
You got to make it Felger-proof, Greg. Yep.
Just so one day I'm going to wake up and put the thing on, and it'll be the new app.
I think so, yes. Okay. That's the hope.
That's what I need, FYI. All right, no commercials here, just 90 seconds for Big Jim Murray's update, and we have more fallout from Super Bowl 55. Don't go anywhere.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.